Now, tonight, let's look in Judges chapter 6. And we have a narrative here, which is really of the most interesting thing. We're going to look at the first 21 verses and read them together. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, referring to their crops, till you come unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. And they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, who said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abarazite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, Gideon, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewithal shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that you talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present or my offering, and set it before thee. And he said, I will wait, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Tonight, we would like to look at the matter of faith in the Christian experience. The Bible makes it very apparent that faith is an essential and pivotal part of the Christian life. George Mueller, the great man of faith that he was, he once said this. He said, "Faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends." Now, in Judges chapter 6, with this man Gideon, God began with an unbelieving, self-reasoning, doubting man and made him into a great man of faith. God would call him a mighty man of valor. Gideon is mentioned by name, as you know, in the New Testament in the list of great heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. But when we look at Gideon here, before the Lord patiently molded him, before he became a great man of faith, we can really get a glimpse into ourselves as Christians. And it should encourage us that if God can take a doubting, questioning man like Gideon and turn him into a man of faith, then he can do it with you and me as well. For so many of us, unbelief characterizes our lives. And we do not even realize it. Now, certainly, we shall see that in this narrative here, that Gideon himself did not realize his lack of faith. And we do not as well. Unbelief looks only at the circumstances. And unbelief influences the way we think, the way we use our logic, and the way we reason. We reason from our circumstances. That is unbelief. And so often we cannot see beyond our circumstances, and as a result, they overwhelm us. But faith looks only at God and ignores the circumstances and appeals only to God and to His faithfulness to me. Well, so let's see how God dealt with a man just like you and me who was overwhelmed by his circumstances. Now, verses 1 through 10. In those 10 verses, we have a picture of what was going on in Israel at this time. And as we shall see, these circumstances that were going on in Israel greatly affected Gideon's conduct and his thinking, just like they can do in our lives as well. The scene here was one in which Israel had been turned over to the domination of the Midianites and the Amalekites. And in verses 8 and 9, we see that God had sent His children a prophet to explain to them why this was so. And in verse 10, God plainly states to Israel, He says, "It is because," what? "You have not obeyed My voice." So these were the trying and the troubling circumstances that Gideon found himself in. Now, but note verse 11. "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat there by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." So Gideon was going about his everyday life. And what was he doing? Well, he was threshing wheat in a very unusual, out-of-the-way place. It says, by a wine press. Why? What was he doing that? to hide it from the Midianites. Gideon was living his life out in fear of his circumstances, hiding his crops from his enemies. And so often, dear ones, we find ourselves doing the same thing. Instead of looking for God and His deliverance and His faithfulness, we react to our circumstances with fear and doubt and anxiety. And all too often, we give mental assent to God's faithfulness. We give mental assent to His faithfulness, but our actions betray us. We worry, we fret, and we are fearful. And like Gideon, we are totally unaware that is what we are doing. But this is not the spirit of faith, and it cannot please God. As the writer to the Hebrews said, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now, in verse 12, notice what the angel of the Lord called Gideon, even though at this present time he was being defeated by his circumstances, he was living his life out in fear. Notice what he called him in the last part of verse 12. He called him, "Thou mighty man of valor." How strange. Now, we can clearly see that Gideon at this time was certainly no mighty man of valor. He was hiding his crops from the Midianites, being fearful of them. And as we shall see, this is corroborated in the very next verse, in verse 13, when he even questions his God. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. But here is the truth. God in His omniscience knew what Gideon would be in the future, what kind of man he would become. God knew very well what Gideon would become, and as far as God was concerned, he was already that mighty man of valor. You see? But in addition to this, the angel's words to Gideon, calling him a mighty man of valor, they were words from heaven. Words from heaven itself to lift up and to encourage Gideon's heart and soul. Now, is not God's love for His children amazing? God always wishes to encourage our faith in Him. Even in unbelief, He will do this. God will not write us off because of our unbelief. God will always make it His business to encourage and stimulate our faith. And we shall see this with Gideon as well. This is how he dealt with Gideon. Now, in verses 12 through 21, God speaks to Gideon a number of times. And there is an interchange between them. And during these interchanges, God very gently, very progressively, takes Gideon by the hand and leads him to faith. Now, if you read the rest of this chapter, we don't have time to do that, you will see that He led Gideon even further in more interchanges at different times. We're looking at these first 21 verses. Now, note in verse 13, Gideon's response to the angel, when the angel told Gideon in verse 12, what did the angel tell him in verse 12? The Lord is with thee, Gideon. The Lord is with thee. Now, what was Gideon's response? Did Gideon say, if God is with me, then I will arise and go forth against my enemies? Is that what Gideon did? No. He began to reason with God in verse 13. And he said, why has this happened to us, Lord? Why has this happened to us? Where are the miracles from God that will deliver us, Lord? And then he said, the Lord has forsaken us. The Lord has forsaken us. Do we not see ourselves in Gideon's response. Why has this thing happened to me? Why has this thing happened to me? Why doesn't God deliver me from this? Well, as far as Gideon is concerned, the answer to that question that he posed God had already been given. In verse 10, the prophet had told him, and the prophet was speaking for God. In verse 10, the prophet had said, "But ye," speaking to Israel and to Gideon, "but ye have not obeyed my voice." That is why they were in the situation they were in to begin with. And frequently, dear ones, this is our problem as well. It is not only a lack of obedience, but it is a lack of faith as well. Now, we must understand this. Obedience, sin, and faith are all linked together in the Bible. Now, what do I mean by that? Obedience, sin, and faith are all linked together. Well, in the New Testament, in Romans chapter 14 and verse 23, the Scripture says this: "Whatsoever is not of faith, whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. When we do not rely on God in our circumstances, in our conduct, and in our dealings with life, it is sin against God. He desires to deliver us, you see. God wants to deliver us, to prove Himself to us, to show us that He loves us in a real, practical way. And when we do not, in faith, trust Him, we sin against Him. Do you see this? And faith in Him is obedience, isn't it? Faith in God is obedience. It shows our trust in Him to overcome for me on my behalf. So obedience, sin, and faith are linked together in the Bible. Well, Gideon's response to God's reassurance that Gideon, "I am with thee. I am with thee." He responded to that assurance. Gideon responded to that assurance. How? With doubt and self-reasoning, didn't he? Just like we do. Just like we do. And in verse 14, again, a second time, the Lord tells Gideon very clearly, very plainly, "Have not I sent thee?" Verse 14 says, "And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" And how did Gideon respond to God's second plain, clear statement here? How did he respond to that? With excuses. He looked only at his circumstances. Note verse 15. "And he," Gideon, "said unto him, The Lord, O my Lord, wherewithal shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." Now, why was Gideon offering these excuses? He was fearful. Wasn't he? He was fearful. He looked at himself. He looked at his poorness, at his family's standing in Israel, instead of looking at God. He looked at his circumstances instead of looking at his God. Isn't that what we do as well? Don't we do that? How should we respond to God in our circumstances? Should we be fearful and doubting? The great expositor and preacher, Donald Gray Barnhouse, once told the story of a dear old Christian woman who had a beautiful life of faith, a tremendous woman of faith. And so someone had said to her, "You know, I believe if you thought the Lord told you to jump through a stone wall, you would jump. You would jump." And the dear old saint replied, she said this, "If the Lord told me to jump through a wall, it would be my business to jump. And it would be His business to make the hole." Now, many times, dear ones, we do not believe that God will make the hole. We do not exercise faith. Remember, dear ones, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, we do need to judge our hearts in this matter, but as we look further at this interchange between Gideon and his God, we come to verses 16 and 17. Let's look at those. Verse 16, chapter 6, "And the Lord said unto him, Gideon, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And Gideon said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that you talkest with me." Okay. In the first encounter with the angel, in verses 12 and 13, God had said, "Gideon, the Lord is with thee." And we saw Gideon's response, the questioning of his God, the human reasoning that he used in response to that. And in the second interchange in verse 14, God said to him again, very patiently, in reassurance, he told him, "Have not I sent thee?" And you think in your mind, surely Gideon would respond to this in faith. But what do we see? Gideon looks at himself and he says, "I am the least in my father's house." He still is overcome by his circumstances. And we come to this interchange, this third interchange, and in verse 16, God reassures Gideon the third time, and he says to Gideon, "Surely I will be with thee." And we think certainly Gideon will now respond to God in faith. He has had three clear, plain declarations from God Himself. And how does he respond? Well, in verse 17, what does he say? He says, "Lord, show me a sign that you talk with me. Show me a sign." Dear ones, isn't this the way we are? Now, certainly, we can ask the Lord to show us things clearly if His will has not been revealed to us through His Word and those principles in His Word. But when we have the promises of God in His Word clearly set forth, Gideon certainly did three times over. And there are multitudes of those promises in the Word of God. Then we need to respond in faith. We don't need a sign. We don't need a sign. Now, Gideon was assured by his God three separate times that God was with him. And yet, Gideon still sought confirmation from God, didn't he? "Lord, give me a sign." You know, we're the same way. Timid and fearful. Now, for Gideon, he would go on and trust his God in faith. It would indeed take more asking for signs, more asking for miracles for Gideon to come to that point. But God patiently brought him there in loving kindness and mercy. He would indeed become that mighty man of valor which God called him. But here is the wonderful thing. God is so patient with us too, so long-suffering. God does indeed know our frailties and our weaknesses, doesn't He? But dear ones, we need to understand this. Gideon did not have God's Holy Spirit residing in him like we do as God's children today. Let us learn through this man, Gideon. And when God tells us to jump through that stone wall, let us jump, dear ones, trusting that God will indeed make the hole. Amen. I believe Earl has some prayer requests for us.